This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Here we go on a Friday. Good morning, everybody. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here in Studio 4 WOR. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It was not cold out this morning.
It's
windy.
Warm.
Yeah, but really windy. All night long, when I woke up, I could hear the wind whipping down the street, flags.
Something tells me, how do you, rather than me make a comment, let me ask the question. When you hear, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas," do you cringe?
No, I would like to see a white Christmas. I think snow's great. You just hope that it doesn't come in at the same time everybody's trying to get home, and worse than normal. And this time, if it happens, if we had snow, we'll do some things differently, but I go back to defending our sanitation department that did what they were supposed to do. When everybody got stuck, they couldn't plow, but they worked as hard as they could. And all of you remember, people said, oh, they deliberately slowed down. There was never any evidence. Oh, they went and did this and that.
There was an investigation.
I'm sure that somebody someplace who took an extra cup of coffee. Okay, the sanitation department, these guys and women take great pride in what they do, and I think they were really hurt by the criticisms. You go out there, you do your best. You can. Some things it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it isn't like they weren't trying.
And they went back out with the other storms of last winter.
Yeah.
Having
said that, it'd be nice to have a white Christmas, just a light dusting,
just to cover it.
And no snow during the winter would be good for the city's budget. Not good for the water supply. But at the moment, the reservoirs are over capacity. So we've had a lot of rain.
A lot of rain. In fact, it's wet a year, I think, almost in history.
It is. I think you got to be careful not to have one bad year and extrapolate to the planet changing. But it is very strange weather all around the world. You've had big droughts and big floods, and the British Isles got just hammered with some big storms. Unusual at this time of year. The Gulf Stream's been very rough all the way across the Atlantic.
All right, next subject nobody wants to talk about. Police officer Peter Fugoski being shot by allegedly Lamont Pride and four others. The nightmare of all nightmares.
The good news is that the number of police officers that have been killed in the last few years is way, way down. The bad news is there are still some, and anybody that thinks just because you go for a period without any tragedies that their job is safe is just making a mistake. This is a dangerous job. Firefighters have a dangerous job. Some of the other parts of the city, people that go into very unknown family, unstable family situations to help kids have dangerous jobs. Police officers and firefighters, I guess, really are on the front line, and every day, they go into that door and you don't know what's behind it, which is why I've always said I just want the smartest person, the best trained person, the best equipped person we can find. And they're never going to know. What they have is always going to be something other than what you expected. In this case, mother and father, sitting there and telling the mother and father their son was not going to make it. It's the toughest part of the job, and it's just not the natural order of things. Parents shouldn't be burying their kids.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I try to get there first, and you don't always be the first one, but I'm a little bit older and parent and have an ability to sort of, I don't know, there's never any easy ways, and when I give a eulogy at the end, I don't know, I always get choked up a little bit.
Yeah,
just because
not.
It's
right.
Just so such a waste of human life. And four daughters. I've never met the older two. I'll meet them at the wake this weekend, I assume. But the two younger ones were going to school here. The two older girls were upstate in college. And, girls love daddy. And, nothing you can say. And their mother was there. And, she was handling herself pretty well. And then all of a sudden, it just gets to you. And I always think, what would I do if it was my family? My kid,
You don't even want to think because it's way too painful.
I suppose, but I think it's a good lesson to all of us. We have to keep working to get guns off the streets. We have to keep working to give people education so they don't fall into a life of crime. You know, what you read about this guy or a lot of the people who are involved in this kind of crime.
They've been doing it all their lives.
Right, and it's a time bomb for society. So, you know, people can say, well, I don't care about them. Yes, you do care because you're on the streets. You live in the same cities that they do. But there's...
Have you gotten any good explanation why Judge Laporte...
I said the press writes it that I blasted the judge, and I don't know if that's a fair characterization. I think I said we all are responsible for this. We have this turnstile justice. Now, I thought the judge could have done more. There are plenty of people that would defend her and say, given the realities that we don't provide enough facilities and judges, they have to, in order to move their calendar along, don't have the time to give to each individual that appears before them. And that's probably true. I would argue in this case there were enough warning signs that she should have said to the clerk, call and just make sure. The district attorney did ask for bail and then came back and asked for bail again, although I don't understand, I'm not a judge, given the guy had didn't come back for trial and it's other cases, so you knew he was going to skip. Why did anybody think $2,500 was adequate as a bail to get him to come back? I don't know. I mean, you know, if you're a drug dealer, you'd think that he has much more money than that in his pocket. But it's tragic, and it's hard to argue that everybody didn't make a mistake. There's a police officer who is never going to come home again, whose family is going to have to do without him, a police department that has lost somebody that was a friend and a coworker, and you know that goes into everybody's psyche. And
just because you got this guy who's a career criminal, and he couldn't care less about any of this.
John, he couldn't care less. It would seem, you know, when you read about people who get arrested for serious crimes, it's very seldom they don't have a long rap sheet. I mean, even the victim who was getting robbed. I'm pretty sure he had a long rap sheet. I mean, we have this turnstile justice. We call it a corrections department. It's done all across the country. We don't correct anything. One of the things you have to focus on are some of these programs like the Fortune Society, and the city has a number of programs to try to work with people when they get out of jail. Nobody wants to invest money in it. It's not sexy. Public says that. I don't want to spend my tax dollars, but we've just got to do something.
But you've started an initiative.
And I think we've had
to work with young
Black Hispanic. We've had some successes. You know, the trouble is you never know whether your success would have, what's really a success, because what would you do? Would that person have gone and committed mayhem without? But you got to believe that some of it works, and you got to keep doing it. The judges I've always had great sympathy for are those judges that have to make decisions, for example, in family court and child cases. Do you remove the child from the parents, send to foster home, leave it there, leave the child with the parents? And no matter what you do, you have a chance of being wrong and second-guessed. And, you know, there are a lot of jobs like that. An ACS worker who goes in has got to decide whether or not to recommend something like that to the judge. It's easy to second-guess everybody, and we have a habit in this country of somebody's got to be blamed. And if it turns out your judgment was wrong, then we try to vilify you. On the other hand, if your judgment was a reasonable one based on the facts, but it turned out to be the wrong thing, that's not something you should criticize people for. They've got to make those decisions all the time. And it's the person, somebody once said, in the arena, not in the stands, writing about it, that has got to make the decisions and is the hero. I thought in this case, the judge, the DA, you, me, somebody should have made another call. And then it was serious enough that the guy had a gun and... Very tragic.
Yep.
But it's all should have, would have, could have. Yep. And the bottom line is nothing's going to bring back.
You put a gun in a guy like that's hands, and you're going to get trouble. It's going to turn out bad.
Yeah, people have guns to kill people. I mean, you don't carry a pistol for hunting. You know, and I got one nasty note from somebody who said, well, if you're taking guns away, if the victim had had a gun, wouldn't have happened. They could have protected himself. This victim did have a gun.
Did have a gun. Yeah, didn't do him any good, did it? Anyway, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, let me remind you that, in fact, I see some flashing lights already on the board here. We've got some callers, yeah, but we do have open lines. If you've got a question for Mayor Mike, 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. We'll be right back.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful shine.
What else would it be but Christmas music?
Bumper music Friday, Christmas music, which brings us, it occurred to me, this holiday season, if you want to help people, you can. We have some city programs that help New Yorkers in need. The Mayor's Fund to Advance New York. We have a 2011 giving guide on nyc.gov, and it gives you some ideas on how to give back. You can help a homeless family living in a shelter with a donation of they'll fund diapers and bathing and baby clothing. You can provide a summer job for a young person. It'd be a nice thing to do. Support a school garden or a salad bar. Help our kids learn how food is grown. You can volunteer. So there are lots of ways to. And it's nice to promise somebody, I'm not going to give you a gift this year, John. I'm going to go and volunteer for 10 hours in your honor. And it's a nice thing
it
to
is
do.
A nice thing.
People would really.
You know, we were raising money yesterday for City Harvest. We did it, as you know, last Friday with the Salvation Army. Be interesting to know how many New Yorkers actually volunteer. I think the percentage would be huge.
It's enormous. We have a chief volunteer officer, and she just has this enormous organization going of people who volunteer and. They've done a very good job.
What'd you make of the story this morning? We were talking about it over the Staten Island ferry terminals without the decos.
I thought the transportation department made the right decision.
No decorations.
Grand Central Station has no decorations. Okay, nobody's complained. Been a long time. Reason is you start getting into the whole issue of religion on public spaces, and there's plenty of places to celebrate Christmas, plenty of stores and homes that can have Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa.
Who complains?
Last year there was a big suit over a creche, if you remember.
Well,
you don't remember this.
I do remember. I talk about it ad nauseum.
They have 65,000 people that come through this daily.
Let me ask you, okay, I understand.
We have a place to donate toys and all that sort of stuff.
I understand. But don't you think, this is the theoretical question, don't you think that by diminishing some religion, you diminish all religions?
No, but, yes, but we didn't diminish.
Chunk out of it.
We didn't diminish any one religion. We just said no. And Grand Central Station, I come back to it. State MTA, I thought they had the right decision, and we just copied them. And if Grand Central Station can do it with lots and lots of people, no reason why we can't do it here. Anyway, it's another one of these things that is a distraction. And nobody's more in favor of holiday spirit and holiday decorations. I think it makes the city beautiful.
It does.
It's fantastic. And I would encourage stores and Rockefeller Center. I'm always there and that sort of thing. In this case, Department of Transportation got sued one time too many. And maybe
what I'm talking about. I mean, we're letting a lawyer determine everybody.
Okay, but this
is
the Department of Transportation. It's not the court system. You know, come on, they got to do something. They do have a place for you to give toys. Last year, a nativity scene was placed in one of the terminals and without a permit, and it had to be removed. And everybody made a big deal of it. And given the real estate of so many people moving through. Given what Grand Central Station did, they don't allow things on the main floor. I thought it was, it's a rational way to do about it.
I'm just going to be a flippant here. You know, the boats are decorated. The ferry boats are decorated. They have a green and red light on them because there's port
That's
and
fine.
Starboard. No, I'm just kidding. There's port and starboard.
But even if they had things, if it doesn't get in the way, you know, there's a balance.
Well, I wish there were rather than nothing at all. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I understand your reasoning.
Just let me look around your studio here. Where are all the Christmas lights?
Well, that's because, what do I look?
Look what's in the control room. Those guys don't look like they.
We usually have lights here. I hadn't even noticed.
And because they're following what the Grand Central did.
I suppose you're probably right. Kids getting thinner in New York City, I read? Is that
it? It
seems a little, I mean, it's good.
This is a trend that's going up every place around the world. And there's still famine, but as big a health public health problem around the world is starting to be obesity.
In societies that have never seen it before.
Exactly right, because that we haven't solved the food problem. I don't want to make light of people who are starving to death, and there are some, but in an awful lot of places the problem has become a different problem. In the United States, the percentage of kids and adults that are obese is off the charts. Obesity leads to heart problems, some evidence of cancer, diabetes for sure. And we've worked very hard, and everybody says, oh, nanny state, and this doesn't matter, this, that doesn't matter. I don't know which of these things, but overall, we've reduced no more fried foods in the kids' lunches. Now, the kids can, in high school, they still go out, and they can have fried foods. You can't stop everything. But Lori Tisch of the Tisch family gave a big gift to have a cart selling fresh fruits and vegetables in neighborhoods where the local bodegas didn't. You know, we've tried unsuccessfully to get the Food and Drug Administration, I think it is, part of the Agriculture Department, to not allow you to use food stamps for full sugar drinks, because food stamps are supposed to be not to subsidize the cost, but to improve the quality of food. Full sugar drinks are a big contributor to childhood obesity. But all of the things we've done, for the first time, we've seen a decline. It's 5-odd%, 10% for younger kids. And we measure kids' weight and height every year. So, you know, in, around the country...
At school, in the...
Yeah, around the country, you know, they'll measure 3,000 people and extrapolate to 330 million. In our school system, we try to measure them all, and we get something like 80% or something like that, but a very big percentage.
So these statistics that I read in this morning's paper are real?
They are real. And it's, you know, one reporter said, oh, you've only gone from 22 to 20%. Yes, but that's the percentage that... people have difficulty with numbers. That's a 5% change. Can we do it again? If you did 5% next year and 5% next year, and that's what we've got to keep working on. But you know, you really got to applaud the teachers who started to have more exercise, even in the classroom. Sometimes the young kids, I think they do jumping jacks, but you know, you get the message. We've created 200 new parks by having school playgrounds open in the afternoon and weekends and all summer long. You know, get the kids out there. It's just, it makes you healthier. And if you are not overweight as a child, the likelihood is you won't be overweight as an adult. But the converse is true. If you see a kid who's overweight as a child, that unfortunately is going to have all their life. And a lot of it is we just, you know, it's too easy for fast food in this day and age. Before the fast food, people had to eat, so they must have eaten at home. And at home, maybe they didn't prepare as fattening stuff as
or as
you
much
get now. You know, but and the calorie count, though, it, you know, you, at least you can't claim you don't have the information now in the chains. I was in one place; a salad was 1,500 calories.
It's amazing. I've looked at them too and go, what? That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight here. Let's see. 8:31 is our time. Let me look at the board here. Got a couple of open slots for you at 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. Joe Bartlett's got some news briefly coming right up. All righty, John Amber.
Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city.
The beautiful and wonderfully voiced Martina McBride.
Very nice.
Very nice. Absolutely. Silver bells, Martina McBride. Let's see here. Terrible story about the elevator. Exactly.
The
city watches elevators pretty closely.
Yes, and this building didn't have any real violations. So, and the ones they've had over the last 5 years didn't have the sign in the right place. It was nothing serious. What we do know is that there were one or two... I don't know which elevator companies that had were working on the elevators in the building, and that's really all we know. And the Department of Buildings, Bob Lamandry, the commissioner, is investigating.
To put it in context, a horrific situation, unimaginable. But when you think of the numbers of ups and downs,
yeah,
of
not,
elevators
not, not
in
comforting
the city,
to this family.
No,
sadly,
I understand,
but that is fair. And we do have a pretty good inspection process. What happened? They were changing this or changing that, and obviously something really changed, and great tragedy.
Tell me about the tax code revision that was done by our legislature and governor in Albany. Pro con as it relates to the city?
It doesn't change any city taxes. It does affect city residents because we're part of the state. I'm not enough of an expert, and you know, listen, they've got different responsibilities. I've got to worry about the city. They've got to worry about a much more diverse, double the size area, including the city. And you know, everybody's representing different interests. Different parts of the state have different kinds of economies and different levels of income, and so it is. There's lots of different. It's not. You can't just say one simple thing for everybody, and that's what the democratic process comes up with. They did what they thought. But keep in mind, they do have to balance the budget. People want to, and you have two choices. You either cut expenses or you raise.
That was not part of the.
Or you,
equation.
Well, you know, but I mean, the governor's done some things too. So you know, you got to
the MTA commuter tax that was taken off some businesses on Long Island.
Right, but somebody else is going to have to pay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Again, the MTA is coming short on dollars to begin with. To take it away, it's going to have to come from someplace else.
I got a great idea.
No.
Why don't we
give
to give you an incentive to leave your cars at home and get some money from it and make mass transit better.
Now, speaking of which, taxis in the outer boroughs, what's going on?
You know, the governor has said to me all along he's going to sign the bill and he wanted some minor changes. We're negotiating back and forth. Everybody's got the right idea.
He's got till Wednesday, though, to
do
something,
right? Listen, everybody's trying to do the right thing. There's differences. You don't know if you do one thing what the consequences would be, and you shouldn't rush into it. But you've got a lot of professionals. The City and Taxi and Limousine Commission, run by former City Councilman David Yaski, is a very competent guy. Governor has tried to pull together some people in Albany. That's helpful. And I remain optimistic. I don't think it's going to get done.
The contention that we read about in the paper is...
You know, everybody always wants to think there are big battles. And, you know, there basically aren't. I mean, there's always some. But personalities shouldn't get involved. And the answer is that there's no one right answer. And lots of people have a different interest. You come back to taxes, as you point out. They had a tax to subsidize the MTA, very unpopular in other counties. But they've said to the MTA, oh, don't worry about it. We'll give you the money out of general funds. General funds means everybody in the state pays, not just those. You've shifted the burden to the entire state. On the other hand, it's a small amount of money for the entire state. And so people say, well, you know, okay, we've just got to... You say, why should somebody upstate be paying for mass transit in the New York City region? Answer is, I suppose, city is the economic engine of the state. We export money to other counties. They don't quite see it that way, but that is, in fact, the way the funds go. And we're all in this together.
Well, what's your plan? I was reading about your plan about prescription drug abuse. Prescription drug abuse.
Yeah, there's all sorts of scams. You won't think about this, but if you have a prescription, you can get certain drugs, which I guess you'd describe them as hallucinogenics, or getting a fake prescription or getting somebody who has the prescription to fill it a number of times and sell you the drugs, and it's become a big problem with kids and adults.
I was somewhat surprised that you disagreed with the Obama administration on the Plan B pill for those under 17, being sold over the counter.
I'm not an expert. Everybody's got different views, but the FDA did some real science. FDA is run by a woman, Peggy Hamburg, who used to be one of the city's better commissioners of the Department of Health. She has, I don't know her very well, but she has a stellar reputation, and I've always thought you pick the best people who have the expertise, you let them do some real research, come up to a conclusion, and then follow that.
No parent involvement, over-the-counter, like buying...
Well, what about 17-year-olds or 18-year-olds?
Well, but 17-year-olds can get it. It's the 16, it's 17 and unders, quote-unquote minors.
Yeah, but in this day and age,
Okay.
It's... that's easy to say, but let's. I mean, if you go out there and you look, younger and younger people are sexually active. All the numbers show that. I think that the best thing is for young kids. You can make your own decisions about sexual activity or whatever, but they certainly shouldn't get pregnant. Being a parent is an enormous responsibility and should only be done by people with maturity who understand what they're doing. When you create a life, you have an obligation to take care of it. And so I'm the first one to say we should work on programs to keep kids from getting pregnant. And the city does have a number of those. But it's also true that you're not going to be 100% successful. And I'm not in favor of abortion. I do think it's a woman's right to choose. When the adult, when it gets a younger person, it gets to be tricky. You've got to make a decision. And the FDA made a decision. The Secretary Sebelius, who I did an event with this week and is a smart woman, and I like her very much, she overruled it, but then she said recently if they get different data and submit it, maybe she'd rule differently. There's also a court that might overturn it. There's no good answer here. So no matter what, you know, people are going to be on the phone yelling and screaming.
No, I know.
On both sides. My answer is not that I think it's right or wrong. I just think that you can't have a referendum on everything. You pick good people. This is somebody who, Hamburg is really good, and then follow her recommendation. And even she would say, I'm sure, no right answer, not perfect. However, you got to make a decision.
Earlier this week, I talked with Schools Chancellor Dennis Walcott, and we were talking about, and I've talked also with Merrill Tisch, who is the commissioner of the Chancellor of the Regents for the state of New York, and she's concerned about New York City's school graduation numbers and how proficient kids are with college work. This morning, and I just want to read this and get your reaction to this. This is today's newspaper, Newsday. Nearly half of America's public schools didn't meet federal achievement standards this year, marking the largest failure rate since the much criticized No Child Left Behind.
That's what these waivers are all about, because nobody's qualified.
But your reaction to the fact that we're at half the schools that aren't making the grade.
The requirements of the workplace in terms of knowledge and abilities is growing much faster than our ability to improve our school systems nationwide. It is an enormous societal problem. It's not just true here in America. It's true around the world. And you are seeing, we've always talked about the difference between having an education and not having an education. If you don't have one, you can't be self-sufficient, participate in the great American dream. You're seeing that in the real world. And everybody says, oh my God, I thought those were just words. Unemployment in America among college-educated people is 4%. Now, it's much higher among recent college graduates, but overall, it's 4%. Unemployment rate among high school dropouts is over 25%, and nobody's sure how much higher because a lot of people just dropped out. There's no ways to survey them and find out. We have a very serious worldwide problem.
Also read all the time that businesses are finding that they've got job openings, but they can't find people to do the work.
Well, that's part of that is, and one of the things you have to do is to open the borders and get engineers and scientists and entrepreneurs.
But what does that do for our people?
Because
they can't
every
get the job.
Single person who graduates college here with a graduate degree in science and technology, engineering, math, generates 2.6 jobs if they get a job here. A lot of them will start companies, but a lot of them just, if the new products are developed here, the manufacturing process, which may provide jobs for people that don't have that level of education skills, are going to be here as well. And if the product is developed overseas, the jobs are going to be overseas. And the numbers are clear. It's like temporary workers in the farm belt. For everyone, there's a whole bunch of other people that get jobs because they drive the trucks and they clean the groceries and they sell them and they do with the cashiers and stores and that sort of thing. You can't say, oh, well, we don't have enough jobs, therefore close the borders, because the people who are unemployed here don't have the skills to fill those jobs. So we've got to find a ways to fill those jobs, and then that will create jobs for the people who are unemployed. But long term, it is a very serious problem.
Because and the graphs have crossed.
Nobody, I mean, everybody in Congress, they just talk about this in Washington. We're going to create jobs. And then, you know, let's create green jobs. I don't know what a green job is, because if it's installing a solar panel, there are plenty of electricians who need the work that are going to do that. If it's changing the boilers, there are plumbers that are going to do that. But an awful lot of people who are unemployed aren't electricians and aren't plumbers, and they're not going to be able to share in that. And in the end, the long-term solution is education. Short term, it is instilling business confidence. I gave a speech. I could not feel more strongly about what the president and Congress should do together. I think it's politically doable. I outlined how you do it. You have to make everybody help the problem in terms of closing the budget by paying more, and everybody suffering a little bit on the cuts. And if you do that, you will create a business climate where businesses will go out and make loans, banks will be willing to give them, and that sort of thing. If we sit here and vilify all the banks, they're never going to make loans. You can't. Well, this is insanity.
Harry Reid said today we got to get a bill together because we got to go home for vacation.
Well,
you know what can I tell you?
But you and I will be here next Friday, and next day we're going to be working.
Absolutely. So you're. That was my point earlier today.
Get Harry on the phone.
Exactly. Get Harry on the phone. He'd take your phone call. Don't think he'd take mine. This portion of the program, when we come back to the phones, this portion of the program is sponsored by this Broadway play, The Road to Mecca. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com today.
Tony Lives. How do you know that?
Hanging around too long. Let's go to the telephone. It's going to start with line number two here. Happens to be Ed out in Staten Island. Hello, Ed. You've got the mayor. Go ahead.
How you doing, Mayor? Nice
Hi.
To speak to you.
And
you're doing a great job. I think you're doing a wonderful job in the city. What's the budget look like for 2012? We've had some property tax increases out here. Is there any way you can speak about that?
Yeah, number one, property taxes, the rates haven't gone up. The reason some people's property taxes go up is that we phase in rate increases over a long period of time, like 5 years. So, you know, at some point they'll start property values, the taxes will go down because you've caught up. And even though property values will go up, the taxes won't. So it's just a long-term thing. But we've cut $500 million out of the second half of this year, fiscal year, which is January 1st through June 30th. We've cut $1.5 billion out of the next fiscal year, which is July 1st, 2012. To June 30th, 2013, and we still have a deficit. We're counting on $1 billion from selling taxi medallions. That's one of the reasons that bill is so important to us. And we still have $1 billion-plus a dollar deficit, which we have to work on. And by the end of January, the law requires the mayor to inform the city council exactly how the budget is going to be balanced. And we're going to find ways to do more with less. That's what the public wants, and that's what the public deserves, and that's how we stay competitive with other cities.
Thank you, Ed, for the telephone call. You sure you want to go to line number five? And Mario, you've got
sure.
The mayor's ear. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Mayor, I'm in the corrugated box business. I've spoken to you once before. I wanted to take issue with you. You're never going to create a job in the metro New York area because of the prohibitive taxes, tolls, and every other thing that each one of these government layers, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. I have lost this past year three major accounts, a cosmetics company, a company that makes toilet paper, Michael, and another company that makes aluminum pans. They went to China.
Well, yeah, Mario, all I can tell you is we've got a, what I can do have the city run more efficiently and keep our taxes as low as possible. I can help make sure this is an attractive place for businesses to stay because of low crime rate, and I can work very hard to reduce the bureaucracy here. Unfortunately, I'm sure the phenomenon that you have described is not limited just to us. People will move businesses to where taxes and real estate prices and wages are the lowest, and it's a big problem for everybody. And as I said, just said for the last caller in, we've got to make sure that New York City stays as competitive as it can be. I'm sorry, you've lost some business. You're not the only one, and I just want to minimize it to the extent possible. One of the things to do is to keep building up the city. I spent a lot of time recently working on this, trying to bring a couple of new engineering schools here that graduates from that will create businesses, but also maybe somebody's not going to move their business to China because they say, well, this is where it's happening. But for some people, they will just go to the lowest wage place in the world, and if that's what's happened to your three customers, hard to stop, and I've got to find a ways for you to find other customers to replace them.
You got a tweet there you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, somebody tweeted me why we waste so much time pushing for additional gun control measures. When I read that, I thought to myself, maybe the guy wants to join me out in Babylon on Monday, sitting in the church where the funeral is for
interesting Officer research on online, how you can buy guns so easily online.
Very big thing. Some companies, some online services obey the laws. Some talk about it and don't. Some don't even talk about it. The federal laws say you can't sell guns to minors, to people with psychiatric problems, and to criminals. And yet it's so easy to get a gun if you're in any of those three categories.
And are they allowed to ship a gun through the mail?
Yeah, but how do you know?
That's what I'm saying. But I mean,
you don't know. That's what we've got to find some ways to stop this, and it's up to Congress. And if you could get Congress to come and sit with me in this church on Monday, wouldn't it be wonderful if they finally got some understanding and in memory of this officer said, we can't bring him back, but we're going to make sure his kids and parents are protected by getting guns off the streets out of illegal hands.
All right, Mr. Mayor, that's it for us. But as you said, next Friday, the Friday before Christmas Eve, you and I will be here in Studio 4. Look forward to it.
Yeah, me too.